In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this evening is recorded in the Gospel of St. John. We read in the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, dearly loved, you certainly will not die. If I told you that, or someone else told you that, you would know in your heart that that was a lie. Yet, Eve, in the Garden of Eden, chose to believe that lie that Satan told her rather than to believe the truth that God had told her and Adam. When you eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, the knowledge of good and evil, you certainly will die. Ever since that day, Satan has not changed his tune. He is a liar. He is the father of all lies. Everything Satan says is lie after lie after lie. The general theme for our Lenten series of sermons is a prefix that Jesus often used before he taught some great truth. It's a little different in NIV 11. It's translated, "Very truly, I tell you." We know it better, probably, "I tell you the truth," or "Verily, verily, I say to you." We might wonder, why would Jesus bother to put that there? What else would we expect him to tell us? What else do we know about everything Jesus says? We know it's the truth. Jesus wanted people to realize that contrast between everything that he said, which is truth, and everything that Satan says, which is lie. And it's good for us this Lenten season to remind ourselves of those different contrasts as well. And so tonight we see God's word, which is truth, in contrast to Satan's lies. "I tell you the truth," Jesus says, "anyone who sins is a slave to sin." Truth is, we were slaves to sin. Truth is, God has set us free from that slavery. The truth is not always what we want to hear, is it? Do we enjoy when our spouses perhaps say something to us like, "Aren't those pants getting just a little tight around the waist?" Thinking back when we were teenagers or in college, did we appreciate our parents telling us that they didn't really think that that person whom we were dating was really a very good influence on us? Do any of us at work or in school enjoy it when somebody comes up and says to us, "You know, you are wrong"? And we are, but we still don't like to hear it. Now those are some fairly lame examples compared to Jesus saying that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And doesn't that really get up the hackles of our old Adam, of our sinful nature? We're reminded as Christians who have been set free from sin that we still have that old Adam. We still have that sinful nature that tries to bring us back into the slavery to it from which Christ has set us free. Frederick Douglass, the former slave and later an abolitionist, once said, "I didn't know I was a slave until I found out I couldn't do the things I wanted to do." Those words reminded me a little bit about the Apostle Paul's conflict that he wrote about in Romans 7. You know, as a Christian, the good that I want to do, I can't do it. I don't do it. The evil that I don't want to do, that I do. And that's because of the slavery that still lurks and still is in my sinful nature. As a Christian, as Luther said, both saint and sinner, as someone who is guided and directed and empowered and lives in our new man, the sinful nature is still trying to drag us back into slavery. Just like the sinful nature and Satan tried to drag the Israelites back to Egypt by those false remembrances of how much they really enjoyed life as slaves, even though that was completely wrong. My old Adam is always right there fighting with my new man. My old Adam is right there enslaving my human nature. You and I, as the children of God, live in the day of freedom in Christ. But my sinful nature is still trying to put chains of sin on me again. We might think, and maybe we have thought, well, what's the big deal about that? What if my sinful nature is trying to enslave me again? I know Jesus as my Savior. I believe in God. What's the big deal that I still have this sinful flesh? The big deal is recognizing where those kinds of thoughts are coming from. And they're coming from that liar. They're coming from Satan to get us to not think that our sinful nature can still drag us back away from God. My sinful nature can get me to begin to believe Satan's lies and think, well, I don't need to use the law to curb my sinful nature. I don't need to be afraid of God's wrath and punishment against sin that still is in me. I don't have to daily drown my old Adam so that my new man can rise up and rule my life by thinking daily of my holy baptism. I can begin to believe that whatever I do according to the new man somehow balances out those things that I do in my old Adam. But they don't. Jesus spoke these words to those Jews who had believed him. They were very immature in their faith and in their understanding. They needed instruction as we do. Because they were in a crowd of Jews who thought that they were saved because they were Abraham's relatives. And we heard him even say, "We've never been slaves to anyone." Yes, other than the Egyptians and the Romans and maybe one or two others. They were certainly slaves to that wrong idea, that unbelief that they were God's children by virtue of their heritage rather than through faith in Christ. So Jesus was warning them that in their new faith, in their new belief in Him, to not let that idea of slavery, to not let their sinful natures enslave them again. Because Christ had, He had come to free them from that slavery. So don't go back to that slavery of unbelief. Don't go back to that slavery of the law. Don't go back to that slavery of those outward sacrifices that David wrote about in Psalm 51. But rather, continue to believe in me, to follow my teachings. Then you're really my disciples. Then you know the truth. And that truth sets you free from that slavery to the law, from that slavery to your sinful nature, from that slavery to sin. Jesus reminded them, a slave has no permanent place in the family. We know as Christians that we have an old Adam, and that before we became believers, even though for most of us, that's before we can remember, we were slaves to sin. Because all we were was old Adam. All we were was our sinful nature. And we know that now, and we confess that now. We realize what a horrific condition Christ has rescued us from. What He has taken us from. What He has set us free from. So that we can now do what we want. You don't want to sin, do you? You don't want to do something against God's will. And that's because under the new man, as Christians, we want to do His will. We've been set free. Can we always say no to sin? No. Sometimes we foolishly still listen. And Jesus reminds us that when we do that, then we're becoming again slaves to that sin, to that old Adam. And we need that freedom and have that freedom that comes in Christ. By nature, I am God's enemy. By nature, I am under His wrath and punishment. But now, having been set free, I am a permanent member of His family. That's really what Ash Wednesday is about. That's really what the ash crosses on our foreheads are about. It's about dust you are, and to dust you will return, as God told Adam. Because you listened to Satan, now you have a sinful nature. Now your nature is completely sinful, and you are lost forever. But then, God gave them that promise. He gave them that key to freedom, the key that set them free, that promise of the Savior who would crush Satan's head while His own heel was being bruised. The key to our freedom, what sets us free, what makes us live free, is Jesus Christ. He has removed our chains. His word is truth. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free against all those lies of the devil. Some of you know I've mentioned more than once that part of this text is my confirmation verse. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So it's particularly dear to me for that reason, as I hope your confirmation verse is dear to you as well. How do we get to know and have that key person? Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching. What is the teaching that we are to hold to? That Jesus came into the world, true God, kept the commandments perfectly holy. He offered that holiness as a atoning sacrifice for our sins and the sins of the world on the cross. And taking him at his word, believing his word, is trusting in that work for salvation. Not in our own actions, not in our inheritance as children of a certain culture or individual, but only through Christ. If you continue in Jesus' teaching that he is the only Savior from sin, then you know the truth. And that truth sets you free from sin and guilt and death and eternal damnation in hell. And Christ's teaching also is that as we are grafted into him as his branches into the vine, that we will bear those good works of the fruits that he produces. God's love for us in Christ has loosened the shackles of sin from us. As Christians, we are not enslaved by our sinful nature, even though we still have it. But remember what we say in the hymnal when there's a holy baptism about our sinful nature. We say, we all have an old Adam, but, quote, our sinful nature need not control us any longer, unquote. And that's what it means to be set free. That our sinful nature no longer needs to control us in our lives. And so we are free to carry one another's burdens. We are free to forgive one another as we have been forgiven. We are free to spend our lives in service to one another as Christ spent his life in service to us. Our sin bruised Jesus' heel pretty badly. It appeared as if sin and its slavery of us had won as Jesus died and was buried. But he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven to sit at God's right hand and rule over all things. That measly tomb of stone could not hold him. It had to set him free. He descended into hell to show himself to Satan, that Satan's slavery of us was ended, and that he had set the world free. Satan bruised Jesus' heel pretty good. But Jesus completely crushed Satan's head and destroyed his power. The Apostle Paul wrote on the same topic to the Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We don't live under that yoke of slavery, of immortality. Morality, hatred, discord, envy, drunkenness, and the like. But Christ set us free for freedom. Freedom for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Jesus said, truly, I tell you the truth, I have set you free. I have set you free to live for me now. I have set you free to live with me forever.